Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us, all of you who are here in person and all of you who are joining us online. We have an exciting Sunday. One of the things that's happening today is we are installing the four new council members who will serve from 2023 to 2025. That will happen after the creed and before the prayers of intercession. But we had a really good council retreat yesterday. We talked about a lot of the gifts that we have here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church and how we are well situated to move forward into the future and continue faithful life together and faithful ministry in the world around us. A couple of announcements to make note of. This Wednesday is the Senior Citizens Group at the office complex. Bible study is Thursday night at the office complex. This did not make it into the announcements, but Chip Blower is going to be in a play at his friend's church, North Lexington Baptist Church, this coming Saturday. If you would like to attend that, please see Chip. He'll get you all the details. But that's going to be this coming Saturday. He's one of the starring roles. And oh, and Sunday too. Saturday and Sunday. In a couple of weeks, we are going to have our fifth Sunday potluck. Please keep that on your calendar. As you know, I love potlucks, and I love it when we all get to stay after church and eat together. Speaking of staying after church and eating together, just have in the back of your mind that Sunday, February 12th, is going to be Super Bowl Sunday. Yes, Super Football Sunday. But also S-O-U-P-E-R, Super Bowl Sunday. We're going to have a food drive for the Blessing Box. The Fellowship Committee is going to host a soup and sandwich lunch after the service. And also that day, we are going to have our congregational account audits. So if you are the treasurer of an account here at church, it will need to have all of the documents ready to be audited by February 12th. A couple more things. This week on Wednesday, our brother Robert Napolitano is having quadruple bypass surgery. We blessed a prayer shawl a few weeks ago for him, but I just wanted to remind you that his surgery is Wednesday so that you can be in prayer for him, certainly for his surgery, but also for his recovery. And then you might have noticed that there's a line in the announcements if you'd like to send Lee Comer a card, that his address is there. Lee, for several years, has mowed the church property, both the lawn of the church and over at the cemetery. And this week, Lee had some really significant heart episodes. His heart stopped twice while he was help taking down Christmas decorations at Mount Tabor. And while he was in the ED, he had another heart attack. He is doing really, really well. He's actually already home. But because he is one, our brother in Christ, and many of you know him from being a part of the Holly Grove community, but also because he does such faithful work for us, I put his name in the bulletin in case you'd like to send him a card and let him know that you're holding him in prayer as he recovers. Let me see if there's anything else I am missing. I think that's all the announcements for now. We have a prayer shawl to bless and a couple of birthdays. So this week, Stephen Frank and Angie Laster have birthdays. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We do have the basket offering today, since it's the third Sunday, and that will be going to the backpack program. And this is a prayer shawl for Rick Jarrell, and I'll tell you how I know he's connected to the church. Myra's sister, Lib. Her husband is Rick Jarrell's brother. And Rick recently went through some pretty significant surgery. And so we are going to bless this prayer shawl and give it to him. God, we give you thanks for the gift of prayer, that you are always ready to hear us like a loving parent. We lift up to you today Rick, who has recently undergone some pretty significant surgery, and ask that you would be with him as he heals and as he recovers. We ask that you bless this prayer shawl, and may he, as he feels the weight of it on his shoulders or on his lap, may he feel the weight of the love and care for him that we have for him at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who creates us, redeems us, and calls us by name. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you and your beloved children. We have turned our faces away from your glory when it did not appear as we expected. We have rejected your word when it made us confront ourselves. We have failed to show hospitality to those you called us to welcome. Accept our repentance for the things we have done and for the things we have left undone. For the sake of Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, lead us, that we may bathe in the glory of your Son, born among us, and reflect your love for all creation. Amen. Rejoice in this good news. In Christ, your sins are forgiven. You are adopted into the household of Christ and are inheritors of eternal life. Live as freed and forgiven children of God. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Holy God, our strength and our Redeemer, by your Spirit hold us forever, that through your grace we may worship you and faithfully serve you, follow you and joyfully find you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The psalm for today is Psalm 40. I wait patiently upon the Lord. The Lord lifted me out of the desolate pit, out of the miry clay. The Lord put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Happy are they who trust in the Lord.
They do not turn to enemies or to those who follow lies.
Great are the wonders you have done, O Lord my God. In your plans for us, none can be compared with you.
Oh, that I could make them known and tell them, but they are more than I can count.
Sacrifice and offering you do not desire. And so I said, here I am, I come. I love to do your will, O my God. I proclaimed righteousness in the great assembly. I have not hidden your righteousness in my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your deliverance. You are the Lord, do not withhold your compassion from me. The New Testament lesson for today is from Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The next day he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Conrad. Good morning, Calvin. Good morning, Cameron. Good morning. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Maddie. How's everybody doing today? Good? Well, I don't know if you heard, but when I was just reading the Bible verse, there's somebody in there who said, "Look, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Did that sound familiar to you? It did? Like, have you heard that somewhere before? You're not sure? Actually, every Sunday, in part of our communion prayers, after we pray prayers asking God to bless the bread and the wine, we actually sing a song. Miss Judy starts to play the piano, and we sing, "Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us." And we say that part again, "Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us." And then one more time we say, "Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, grant us peace." Did you know that this song, that Lamb of God song, that the church over all the world has been singing that for hundreds and hundreds of years? Yeah, that's a hundreds and hundreds year old song. And in it, we are both proclaiming or declaring or exclaiming like John the Baptist did, "Behold, here in the bread and the wine is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And we're also saying a prayer. Do you guys ever sing your prayers? Do you ever sing prayers sometimes? Before you go to bed, you sing your prayers? You do too? All the time you sing your prayers? That makes me happy. And so also when we sing that Lamb of God song, we're praying. We're asking Jesus to have mercy on us, and we're asking Jesus to give peace. And do you know what? Just a few seconds after we pray that prayer, Jesus answers it. When we eat the bread and we drink the wine or the juice, God is actually giving us mercy and peace in the bread and the wine and the juice. Because we believe that in the bread and the wine that we get to taste God's love for us, and that Jesus is present in that. And so even as we're eating our bread and drinking our wine, God is giving us a taste of God's mercy and God's peace. So today, when we are doing our communion prayers, and when we sing that song, think about the Lamb of God, and we're asking God for mercy, and we're asking God for peace. And then when you come up for communion and you're tasting that bread and drinking the wine, maybe you can think, oh, this is God's answer to my prayer. This is God's mercy, and this is God's peace in the form of bread and wine. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for all of these children. And thank you for your love. Thank you, God, that you hear our prayers. You are the Lamb of God. And in the bread and in the wine, you give us mercy and peace. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You may go back to your seats or to the nursery to play for a little bit. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you or your children have done show and tell? Quite a few folks. I used to love show and tell, and I can remember that the children I nannied for would get so excited the night before show and tell, trying to decide what they wanted to take and what they were going to show their classmates and what they were going to tell everybody about what it was that they were showing and telling. And so I have a little something for show and tell today. This was given to me by someone very dear to me on the occasion of my ordination. So this past week, I celebrated the second anniversary of my ordination. And at your ordination, it's the first time that you get to preside at the table. And that was something that I had dreamt about for so long. And it was such a beautiful fulfillment of God's grace, getting to do that for the first time. And part of the communion liturgy is singing the Lamb of God. Like I told the children, the Lamb of God has been sung in the church as part of the communion liturgy since the early 700s. And so this tradition, this ritual, is very much a part of our DNA. And so at that table that day, we sang the Lamb of God, which is most commonly done throughout the world, actually in Latin. So I don't know if you've ever heard Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God. But this print is the Lamb of God in Latin, and I have it in my office as a reminder of that special, special first time that I got to serve communion, and how we proclaim Sunday in and Sunday out that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and who in our baptism gives us forgiveness of sins, and who in the bread and the wine at the table gives us forgiveness and salvation and grants us our prayer for mercy and peace. So there are many considerations that go into picking out something for show and tell, not the least of which are finding something that's special to you and something that means so much that you don't want it to be just for you. You want to share it with other people so they too can experience your happiness or your joy, so that they can see how this thing is so special to you. Well, in today's gospel passage, I don't know if you noticed, but we get a front row seat to witness John the Baptist doing a little show and tell of his own. We've encountered John a few times in the last few weeks. Right? John, the one who leapt for joy in Elizabeth's womb when Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth and they were both pregnant with miraculous pregnancies. John, who lived in the wilderness, who wore clothing made from camel's hair and ate locusts and wild honey. John, who told people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven had come near. And as many folks read last week, John the Baptist, who baptized Jesus with water. Well, this morning we encounter John yet again, and not once, but twice upon seeing Jesus, John proclaims, "Here is the Lamb of God." He testifies to those around him what he experienced when Jesus was baptized. He witnesses to those around him that Jesus is the Son of God, the Word who had become flesh to live and dwell among people. John saw Jesus, then he showed Jesus to others, and he shared his experience of Jesus with others. See, show, share. This pattern plays out several times in the Gospel of John. Even two or three verses later, we see Andrew seeing Jesus, showing Jesus to his brother, and sharing with his brother his experience with Jesus. See, show, share. Now, although it's not a tongue twister, don't try saying it five times fast. Lutheran pastor David Lowe says this: at its heart, evangelism is noticing what God is doing in the world, sharing that with others, and inviting them to come and see for themselves. Now, I don't know about you, but I get a little bit prickly when I hear the word evangelism, because for so many of us, evangelism has pretty negative connotations. I did an informal survey this week just asking a few folks what they think of when they hear the word evangelism. Some think of someone standing on a street corner saying that if they aren't saved, they're going to be going to hell. Someone else said that evangelism is somebody saying, "If you died today, where would you go?" Or someone standing in front of a street, in front of a store or a courthouse handing out tracts. Now, setting the bad theology of all of that aside, I think many of us have been confronted by people trying to, quote, evangelize us. And their tactics of fear and judgment leave us feeling threatened or coerced, maybe even shamed. No wonder we want to run the other way when we hear the word evangelism. But perhaps today's text about John the Baptist and Andrew can help us to reframe and rethink and even reimagine the word evangelism. So the word evangelism comes from the Greek word euangelion, which literally means good news. It can also be translated as gospel. So every Sunday when I read the gospel, I say the holy gospel according to John or Matthew or Mark. The holy good news of Jesus Christ. The good news, the gospel. And so evangelism, at its very simplest, is sharing the good news of God. Now listen to that quote I read earlier about evangelism. Evangelism is noticing what God is doing in our lives, sharing that with others, and inviting them to come and see for themselves. That's a lot different than what some of us have experienced, but it sounds like it might be doable. So first, we need to notice what God is doing in our lives. This sounds kind of simple, I think, except for when it isn't. Sometimes it can be hard to notice what God is doing in our lives, maybe for a couple reasons. First, maybe we're a little out of practice. Maybe we get busy and we just get focused on all the things that we need to do day in and day out, week in and week out. And so we don't always notice what God is doing in our lives. Second, sometimes it's hard to see God at work in our lives, even if we're looking. It's kind of like a Where's Waldo book. You might be looking for Waldo, but you can't seem to see him or find him on the page. Let's face it, life can be hard, and there is a lot of brokenness and pain and sin in the world. And sometimes, even if we're looking, it can be hard to see what God is doing. So maybe we start small. Maybe each night as you're getting ready for bed, brushing your teeth or washing your face, you think about one way that God has been at work in your life that day. Or each time you eat a meal, you think about one way that God has been at work in your life since the last meal you ate. The more we do this, the more we intentionally try to notice what God is doing in our lives, the easier it will become. And the more we will find ourselves noticing without even trying. Then we share with others what we notice God doing. Now, this one really is easier said than done, because if you're like me, the thought of sharing with others gives me a little bit of anxiety. I don't want to come off as pushy or offend somebody. But here's the crazy thing. I don't think twice about sharing a recommendation for a restaurant or a TV show. I don't think twice about sharing the recommendation for a book or giving somebody a recipe. They may not like my choice of entertainment or my food, but I still share anyway. I don't have any apprehension in that regard. And yet, how much more significant and important is it to share with others about God's love and what we see God doing in the world around us and in our lives? Think about Andrew in today's gospel lesson. He encountered and experienced Jesus. He then went to find his brother and told him what he had experienced for himself. And then he brought his brother to Jesus so that his brother could experience Jesus. Seeing and showing and sharing. The third part of that is that sharing, that we invite others to come and see for themselves. John the Baptist does this, Andrew does it, even Jesus does it. When Andrew and the other disciple asked Jesus where he was staying, Jesus said, "Come and see." Jesus invites all of us to come and see that in him and through him, God is with us. And then when we have come and seen, we are called to go and show. A recent study showed that 82% of people would come to church if a trusted friend asked them. That's a pretty high number. 82% of people would come to church if a trusted friend invited them. And yet, just as high as that 82% is, in a typical year, only 2% of people invite a friend to church. Isn't that really startling? 82% of people would come to church if a trusted friend invited them, yet in a typical year, only 2% of Christians actually invite a friend to church. It's interesting, right? There are so many people out there who are looking for meaning in their lives, people who are looking for a place to belong, people who are wondering if there's more to life. People who are longing for someone to love them and care about them. And all of us here, we have found all of those things. God has given us all of those things in Christ Jesus, and God has given us those things in the body of Christ that we know and experience in this place. We have seen and we experience God at work here. And now we're called to go and show. To show the world what we have seen in Christ Jesus and to invite them to come and see for themselves. I know this can seem like a big and daunting task to see and to show and to share. But remember, this is God's work. And God has already invited us into his life. What we are called to do is to notice the ways that God is at work in our lives, to share it with others, and invite them to come and see for themselves. And remember, we aren't called to save anybody. Salvation is God's work. In Christ's death and resurrection, God has already saved the world. God is the one who saves. We're simply called to share the good news of that. Beloved sisters and brothers, God gives us many gifts, including the gift of Christ. May God give us all eyes and hearts to see and notice God's presence in our lives and in the world around us. And may God grant each of us the boldness and the courage to share what we've experienced in Christ Jesus with others and invite them to come and see and experience God for themselves. Amen.
The Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who is spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated while we install our new council members. I'd like to invite forward Susan Lohr, Jan Watkins, Carol Conrad, and Stephanie Hearn. And if you will gather with me around the font, because you serving our church, should we face the congregation for now? Because you serving and leading our church in this way is just one more way that you are living out your baptism. Before we install you formally, I would like to acknowledge all of those who are going off council. So if they are here, if they would please stand. Chip Blower, Johnny Fritz, Marie Palmer, and Sherry Proctor. These four people, two of whom are not here, started their time on council in January of 2020. These folks helped lead and guide our church through the pandemic, and I think they did a very faithful job. So we'd like to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for you and for your service. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Holy Spirit equips the church with a rich variety of gifts. We give you thanks for these gifts that have been shown forth among us through your servants, Chip, Johnny, Marie, and Sherry. We praise you for shared joys and accomplishments, and we commend our work to you. Grant that we may continue to bear witness to Christ in lives that are built on faith and love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The following people have been elected by you, the congregation, to positions of leadership. We give thanks for their willingness to serve. In baptism, we are welcomed into the body of Christ, and we are sent to share in the mission of God. We rejoice now that these sisters will lead us in our common life and our mutual mission in the congregation. A reading from 1 Corinthians. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for common good. Carol, Stephanie, Susan, and Jan, you have been elected to positions of leadership and trust in this congregation. You are to see that the words and deeds of this household of faith bear witness to God, who gathers us into one together with the whole church. You are to seek to involve all members of this congregation in worship, learning, witness, service, and support, so that the mission of Christ is carried out in this congregation, in the wider church, in this community, and the whole world. You are to be faithful in your specific area of serving, that the Spirit who empowers you may be glorified. You are to be examples of faith active in love, fostering peace and harmony and mutual understanding in this congregation. On behalf of your sisters and brothers in Christ, I ask you, will you accept and faithfully carry out the duties of the offices to which you have been elected. If so, say, I will, and I ask God to help me.
I will, and I ask God to help me.
People of God, will you support these, your elected leaders? And will you share in the mutual ministry that Christ has given to all of us who are baptized? If so, say, we will, and we ask God to help us. I now declare you installed as council members of this congregation. Almighty God, bless you and direct your days and your deeds in peace, that you may be faithful servants of Christ. Amen. You may return to your seats, and you may remain seated as we pray the prayers of intercession.
Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Put a new song in the mouth of your church. Inspire the baptized to tell of your faithfulness, sharing the good news of your salvation throughout the earth. God, in your mercy, the waters of baptism call us into life in the Spirit. Preserve the world's waters, protect them from pollution, support plants and animals who depend on them, and bring rain in places of drought. God, in your mercy. In Jesus, you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Show your mercy to all nations. Direct leaders to do your will. Fill governing bodies with righteousness and equip them with discernment and compassion. God, in your mercy. You incline your ear to all who cry to you. Draw near to individuals and communities suffering violence, injustice, illness, or poverty. Hide them in the shadow of your hand and make us signs of your faithfulness to all in need. We pray especially for Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Boyd, Mike, Scott, Paul and Carolina, Joe, Robert, Carolyn, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. God, in your mercy, you are glorified in the servants you have called. With Martin Luther King Jr., give us bold trust in you. Even when it feels like a sharp sword or polished arrow, give us courage to receive your call to repentance and to pursue justice. God, in your mercy. In every place and time, you have sanctified your people. We praise you for the testimony of those who have died in the faith. Strengthen us as we wait for the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, in your mercy.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you. Thank you.
Let us pray.
God
of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved son. And in the miracle of water turned into wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who, on the cross, opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all glory and honor now and forever. Amen. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to God's table. There is a place for you and enough for all.